Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Monday night, and you're here on your show, Raising Expectations. And we've got a great show tonight. We have one of the next leaders in California, which are going to turn the ship around and put it on the course for a great values, great life, and keep people from leaving. But other than that, it's going to be a really good show tonight. And again, I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba, right here. And if you forget, the M is on the wall behind her, and just go with the word with him, and that'll be good. And we'll get you all set, won't we? So again, it's Monday. Great expectations ahead for you for the whole week, and we hope that they'll start tonight. We've got a great team of people. You know most of them. We're your Raising Expectations family, and we've got great people on the team that come in that are leaders in their fields across the nation and some around the world that you'll be seeing this year. And we're just thrilled to be able to all be a family. All of us on this team, as you know, we're people of faith, and that faith rests solidly in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he's the Son of God, just like God said he was, that he came to earth to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And like we say every week, many of you ask sometimes in text, that very simply, this is the answer. We know what's happening on this life because God's working in our life. He has footprints prepared for us. And all we do is tune in with him. When we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we surrender our lives to him and then strap in and hang on, because he's got a ride ahead that's going to glorify him and bless everybody who knows you. So also, when it's time for us to leave this world, we know where we're going. So we have that peace that passes understanding, knowing where it comes from. So without wasting any time here, because we want to make sure you know that, we want to move right into our team so you'll know them once again. On the West Coast, we have near Santa Barbara, we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul is a retired pastor, and he is a theologian. He's a great scribe. He's our scribe for the show. If you see him looking down sometimes, he's writing great words of wisdom off of notes that we'll all be tuning into later. And he's one of the greatest guys you could ever meet. And we hope he's feeling well today. A lot of us get these little cold things going out here. We've had some rain. It's been kind of different weather. You're doing good tonight, Paul?
Okay. I'm okay. Thanks.
There we go. Well, we're praying for you. I hope you're feeling better, man. And so Paul and Melba and I, we're going to join up together and go across the nation to the southeast, which is the East Coast on the north side of the south part of it. So that comes right into Dalton, Georgia. And there we have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer in Dalton, Georgia. Boy, that's a hard place to find, but don't worry, you'll find it there. And they're the most wonderful people also you could ever meet. Stephanie is a great mother, wife, homemaker, business lady, counselor for helping ladies. You name it, God uses her in so many ways to bless and help people everywhere. And also with that, she did a great job taking care of Tank. We call him Tank, his nickname. And that's Dr. Craig there, and she helped him to become all that he is. He's a brother in Christ. He's a surgeon. He's not only a surgeon, but they've been mission trips together. Like we say, we love the way they help people with a capital H. And he also has a book. He's a new author about being a surgeon all of his life. And that book, we want to welcome you to try to find that because it's right on our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And you can read about each of the team members there. You'll see last week's guest the next week, and you can read about the program. Many people tune in and get their copy of that. You'll also find them there written up like this, each of our shows back to almost 5.5, 6 years now. And read about the folks right there. You can follow there. There's Dr. Hall. There's our next member coming up who was a guest first. And then he became a real beloved friend to us. So anyway, in Dalton, Georgia right there, you'll find our books listed underneath there. You'll find there's my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. Hope you look at that. It's a great study of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And right under that is a great book we're talking about from Dr. Craig, and that is Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary. You want a copy of that, because all of us live at times really in the ordinary. We want to look at our lives, and there's God in the middle of it, getting those footsticks ready for you to walk on so you'll know exactly what he wants you to do. So you want a copy of that book. So you'll find them right there on the website. You'll be hearing from them in a bit. And Stephanie's a great reader, too. That's a very special thing among all the people tonight. So you want to know, she's a great reader. You'll want to check in on them both, each and every one of them. So also, if you'll go back from the East Coast to the West Side with us, to the footstool of America, the great centerpiece, Texas. And you'll find it in Texas right there, one of our favorite pastors in the whole world. He's right there in McKinney, and that's Pastor Ron Greer. And there's Ron right there. Ron is a pastor, a counselor. He's done so many different things. And all the things that he's done when God got a hold of his life have just been used, like I said before, to help people to know who they are, especially men. He works with Man in the Mirror, which is located there, I believe, in Florida. But you'll find the story of him there and his position with Man in the Mirror there in Texas. And he helps men to get into the Word and discover all along that the things they thought were devastating were really, as Terry used to say, train wrecks led to triumph in their lives. It's another one of our family that on our team. But you'll want to get to know Ron. You can write a text or a question, anything you want to these folks, and they'll get right back to you. They love the Lord, and they care about you. So that brings us all together now, and we want to welcome our guest tonight. That is Elizabeth Wong Owlers, who's running for the California Assembly District 40, as you know. And Elizabeth has quite a story. She and her husband, Ron, who's a tremendous guy, you want to get to know them both. Elizabeth is running there, as you can see, for 4aassembly.com. Get her site right there. And there's an opportunity for you to donate also to help her in the cause, because she's someone who will help to bring people to realize that California was created for it's a beautiful, beautiful state, but most of all, God has his footprint all over California. A lot of the great evangelical movements in the nation began in California. Billy Graham began in the 10th Crusade back in 1949, I believe, and you find many other that have begun there. There she is in one of the debates, and she is a woman of faith. She loves the Lord. She loves her family. She has a tremendous family, you'll see, and there's folks that are running with her or a part of her guests there. So you want to remember Elizabeth in your prayers, as you've been doing. Appreciate you getting back to us and letting us know how much you're praying for her, because she is the voice of not only wisdom, but of understanding. She understands families, her incredible family, which she homeschooled. And then she understands education, the education she and Ron worked hard to get. Nobody gave it to them. They worked hard for it. And the education they use now blesses the lives of everybody. She knows how to do things, as you're going to find out. We're going to talk about some of those tonight, that can change this state and turn it back where it needs to be. So without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and welcome Elizabeth tonight, and we want to give her the round of applause. So Elizabeth and Ron from Southern California, welcome to Raising Expectations. And we're so glad that you are here. And we're going to look at some things tonight. We listed the questions, and so I'll let you go ahead and begin sharing. But all of us have been able to pray for these specifically, from suspending the gas tax all the way through regulations and other questions that you spoke about. So Elizabeth, Ron, hey guys, all of us, huh? Welcome to Raising Expectations. We're sure glad you're here.
Thanks for having us back, Pastor Joe, and it's so good to be with the team. You guys have encouraged us so much, and everyone around the world praying. Prayer is really the beginning of it, because it's each battle. And so I know that not all of the audience is a Christian in the way that we are, but you need to see that when there's things in the world that are evil and we can't understand, how can people behave like this or think like this? It's because it's a spiritual battle. And so it begins with prayer. And so we really appreciate the prayer of the team here and everyone around the world. And this is Ron. I appreciate Ron. He is always praying for me, and we're praying together. We've got our family, and he's leading our family. Our children are grown. We've got four girls, two boys. The youngest one's 19. So it's time for us to expand our energies to serve the state of California, running for assembly.
Amen.
I love that. Most people say, I've raised six kids. I'm gonna, take a nap. And you're like, it's time for the next thing, and we're gonna go and love
That's
on our community. And I love to hear that. Yeah.
it's more than that. You just said, and I'm ready to put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Six. And I'm gonna like bring out the sword and all those things. So that's huge.
Yeah, the armor of God. We need that, the helmet of the hope of salvation,
Yes.
because what we're doing is not just temporary. It's not just for us, but it's for the next generation. And as I was sharing with my son this morning, what the things that we invest our life into can be of eternal value. And I look forward to when we get to heaven and the Lord says, well done, well done. And there will be reward. That's everything we're investing our family into is for eternal reward. And we want to see impact here now on the earth, as we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we believe that we need to put into practice and actual manifestation in our natural world the goodness of God, so that we can see the goodness of God and his principles worked out, specifically in our government. And our government touches every part of our lives. It touches our kids' education. It touches our businesses. It touches our personal finance, our commute to work, every aspect of our lives, and our futures. So.
Amen. That's right.
Elizabeth, would you like us to play that 60-second reel for you right now and give them an idea? Some of the folks, I'm sure, don't know you yet. Most all our people do. Would you like to have that now?
Yeah,
TJ,
go ahead. Thank you,
yeah,
T.
TJ, could we run that for him? I may have thrown him a curveball, but there we go.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, a fifth-generation Californian. Born here, married here, raised and homeschooled my six kids right here. I'm your classic California mama bear. After earning my doctorate, I chose family over career because I saw our educational system failing our children. We all feel it daily. Schools skipping the basics, sky-high gas prices, exploding homelessness amid rising taxes, unsafe streets, and businesses fleeing. That's no accident. It's one-party rule gone too far. During my time as councilwoman, I've seen the possibilities of what we can do if we fought back together. My roots are deep. I'm staying to reclaim our state of innovation, opportunity, beauty, and freedom. Don't just hope. Let's make it happen. Stand with me. I'm Elizabeth Wong Ahlers, running for State Assembly. Join me. Let's make California a place where we can all prosper.
Right, that's excellent.
No.
Don't they have a beautiful district?
Right.
It's set right in the North San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles County and Santa Clarita Valley. And so if you are familiar with California, it's where the 5 and the 14 freeways cross. And if any of our listeners are here in Southern California, you have the areas of Northridge, North Hills, Chatsworth, Granada Hills, Porter Ranch, Rocky Peak, and then all of Santa Clarita Valley up to Castaic and out to Canyon Country. And so that's the area that if you live there, you can vote for me. My name will be on the ballot coming out May 4th. And then if you know people in San Fernando Valley, Southern California, and Santa Clarita Valley, email them, send them, go to my Facebook, Instagram, Elizabeth Wong Ollers, send them the link. That video's up there, and the website, that video's on the website, elizabethforassembly.com. And get the vote out. The ballots come out so very soon, and the last day to vote is June 2nd. Also, please go to the website and donate. We've got the last few weeks before this primary. Now, some candidates don't really have to spend money during the primary because there's one Republican and one Democrat, and they'll both be on the ballot in November. But here in California, in the primary, it's the top two that get on the ballot for November. And I've got some competition there, so we have to spend some money and do a lot of advertising to get into the top two this June, for my name to be on the ballot in November. So it's a so some people don't have to work too hard in the primary, but we're battling all the way through, and we're standing. So
Yeah. That says, does anybody have a question they wanted to lead as we look at these to Elizabeth? Thoughts you might have on it?
Well,
Website.
my question, I'll go back again to the last show.
Yeah.
What kind of response have you gotten from churches?
Oh, well, that's very encouraging. We've got so in Santa Clarita, we not only have, well, there's like a good Bible. It's almost, I don't know, maybe it's like Texas because it's like every 5 minutes there's actually a Bible teaching church. So there
Wow.
are, yeah. So if we can get those Christians out to vote for this primary, I will win. And
Amen.
also, we've got, so I have several of the pastors that have met me, that know me, and if we can get them to be a little bold enough to actually mention something to their congregations, I can win just by the Christian vote. And then
Absolutely.
yeah, there's a university in the district, Masters University.
Yes,
Yeah, John
sir.
MacArthur was president there for so many years, 40 years or more. And so there's about 1,400 students on that campus. And
Wow.
I have been invited to that campus next month.
Amen. Amen.
There is a prayer request that next Monday, the Holy Spirit will stir up those students with interest in the political process and conviction to register to vote there in Santa Clarita Valley, because they may be students coming from all over the country, but if they will register to vote in the district where this where in Santa Clarita, where their university is, and harvest the ballots, I will win. And I'm also hoping that these students will have an interest in participating, not just by voting, but by Door knocking and canvassing, using their youthful energy to
Yes.
get my cards out all over the neighborhoods. And so that's so I will be speaking there to those students next Monday. And I'm
That
so
is great.
thankful for that opportunity because I do have the trust of the leadership at the school. So
I just got to jump in.
Well,
That is so exciting. I didn't know that, but John MacArthur was my youth pastor when I was a
oh,
kid in school. Yeah. And my dad and mother were very close to his dad, Dr. Jack MacArthur. And
really? Right.
he helped found the first church with them. That's where I went to Sunday school as a kid. So I had no idea that they were right there. So, and they're good people. Boy, they will. We're going to send them some
Yes.
notes.
So yeah, so that's part of the reason why there are so many good Bible churches in this district.
Amen.
And I there, you know, John MacArthur was hesitant to be politically involved as a pastor himself. God bless him, he graduated to heaven last year. But he left a beautiful legacy of teaching biblical principles.
Yes.
So he got a little bit political during COVID because LA County was taking his parking lot away. And so he had to get involved and fight for the freedom of speech to keep his church open and to keep preaching and to keep the parking lot so people could come. And you know, we had a lot of I don't know if he was using that part of the parking lot for services also. But yeah, God bless him. He won his lawsuit against the LA County. And so there comes a point where the pastors feel the pain when our government is acting without restraint. So it's yeah, I appreciate I really appreciate this the Masters University opening up to letting a Christian candidate speak to their students.
So now it are have you guys have do you have any plans for having a say a campus campaign person leading there, organizing students there? Any
They
chance of doing that?
have a political, I don't, I'm not sure if it's one club or two clubs that are like political and law clubs. And
Right.
so those are the students that are sponsoring me to come on Monday.
Okay. Good. All right.
And after the murder assassination of Charlie Kirk, there are students at that university that want to that are starting a club that's not directly under Turning Point, but it's inspired by.
Okay. All right.
So yeah,
Good.
and
That is
I expect to work with those students.
okay, good. I can say that might be a great resource for you.
Yes.
Young folk on the ground talking to other young people and going door to door. They have the energy and the fire to be very effective. Trust
And
me.
they'll yeah, and they'll learn a lot. Yeah, and by
They'll learn
doing
a
it.
lot and they're cheap.
Yeah.
Well,
Can we talk about the gas tax right now? I know you have some ideas of perhaps.
you know, we just need to eliminate the gas tax. Give our people some relief. I think that puts a stress on, it's like $1.60 extra per gallon just by taxes. And the list of all the items that these fees and taxes are going to with every gallon of gas is so long. Nobody can remember or understand what it's all for.
Yes.
You know, basically, if gas taxes went to repairing our roads, then man, we should have the most beautiful roads in the country instead of what we've got. And so,
So you just cut out the whole gas tax, but now they're okay. So this is so California's been trying to pressure everyone to go electric cars, right? And so that we're going green and no fossil fuels. But if we are not buying as much gas because now we have electric cars, then the tax revenue is going down. So then they're thinking,
And there's a
we need more taxes because now they're not buying the gas that we're taxing as much. And so they want to tax us on mileage. So even if you have an electric car, you're going to be taxed on how far you drive your
Amen.
electric car.
There you go.
My extension cord is
Well,
not
here,
that
here's a
long.
question. I'm sorry. This is one of those things that I guess most people don't know. California was actually up until recently one of the largest oil producers in the country.
Yes, sir.
What is it, about 250,000 barrels a day now this year around this side?
And
And
Chevron, yeah.
that's down what? Down five half a million barrels. So you have a
Yeah.
state that's a major oil producing state, but it's the highest gas anywhere. Explain it to
Right.
people. Explain
Right.
it.
Yeah. Chevron has left. I think we've got maybe, I don't know, just one, five oil
Well,
refineries
refineries.
left. And so we're importing gas to California from foreign countries. And
Oh,
so our estate.
not even Texas. Not even Texas.
Not even California.
No, no.
So
Ron, you
Texas
mixed
is a foreign country.
Ron, you
Wait
mixed
a minute.
the
The wrong.
wrong gas.
The
Texas makes the
with
wrong gas.
carbon. What was
No,
that? What gas?
I'm just gonna say California makes some special environmental blend of
Yes.
gas, and nowhere
Yes.
else can produce it. So
Right.
they're
Correct.
doing themselves.
Oh, gracious.
Right.
It just
Yeah. We've got a special cocktail just for California.
yes.
It's one of the most bizarre scenes back in the day where you're standing there looking at these oil tankers lined up, getting filled up by Oakland and what other places. And they're going to foreign countries and going,
Yeah,
something
right.
about that, this is insane.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
When I was a kid, we would drive from Northern California to Southern California to visit my family all the time. And you would see the grasshoppers the whole way. And now, I mean, my kids know what they are, but they never saw them operating. So
Wow.
very sad. Yeah.
That's
amazing. Now what
Yeah.
now here, well just quickly then explain to people what brought that about or what's the major force behind not producing?
Well, yeah, it's government policy against fossil fuel.
Okay. All right.
But if you think about the footprint, what are they called? The footprint of the
The carbon footprint.
carbon,
Carbon
yeah, the
footprint.
carbon footprint. These ships that are going across the ocean to bring us our oil from
Yeah.
other countries are creating a greater carbon footprint than
Yeah.
our little cars.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like the conversation about people that are environmentalists and then they're on their private jets, for a
Yeah.
4-hour visit and turn around.
Right.
It's
Yeah.
ironic, really.
So
Yeah,
another,
I got another word for it.
Me too.
Ron, you got, what was that? So
I got
it's
another word for it, but
yeah.
it's a family
Yeah.
show.
Another show.
It's too
So the Teslas and probably
yes.
all the electronic, purely electronic vehicles, didn't calculate in their early, is this economically feasible? Tire dust. These cars weigh so much that the current parking structures and bridges will not hold them if they're all electronic. But
Amen.
the other thing was the carbon footprint. The dust from the tires, they have to replace their tires every like 10 to 15 years or 12 miles.
10 to 15 thousand
Mouth,
miles.
right? Outside the mouth. Right.
And
Years.
then what about the batteries?
And then the batteries, yeah. What do you do with those?
Batteries, and then disposing of, well, that goes into other things, like even disposing of solar panels is very dangerous to the economy. But Ron, you had something
Yeah,
back.
how's that solar panel in California
Ron had three fingers up. What was that, Ray?
doing?
Did you say?
So it's back to your government comment, Ron.
It is two unelected boards and commissions in California that have ruined the oil industry. The one is the California Coastal Commission.
Oh no, frozen. Frozen.
Oh.
Now.
Cut down the offshore oil drilling. And
Hold
then,
on, Ron.
yeah,
We
we
lost
lost
the
it for a
internet.
second.
You said
There you go.
two California Coastal Commission, and then we heard nothing.
Okay. The California Coastal Commission has basically shut down the offshore oil drilling off the coast of California. So that's one area. And then the California Air Resources Board, CARB, has shut down a lot of the onshore or on land oil drilling because of quote unquote smog and the release of the carbon on all of the how they extract the oil out of the ground. And then there's other boards and commissions, either from county or other government agencies that have basically just choked off all the oil. Ocean. You're right. We could be an actual oil exporter instead of an importer. And then our crazy California cocktail of gas is also where we created ourselves as our own island. We can't even import gas from Arizona, Nevada, or Oregon, which are our border states, if we come into a crisis. And our elected officials at the governor, down to our assembly and our Senate, have actually forced major refineries to close because it's not viable. And think about how huge Chevron is. And Chevron has left the building. They did it in Elvis, they left the building, and they're not coming back because the business climate is so anti-business that they are forcing the shutdowns. They want everybody electric, and they are going to force it by having $12 gas.
And speaking of Tesla and the business climate, Tesla was a California company, and
Welcome to Texas.
well, and when they said they were going to do the large plant in Nevada and not California, I remember that was a big deal. And while we're on companies leaving, In-N-Out has moved their headquarters to Nashville, and I cannot tell you how happy I am to see locals here. They're like, we went on a family trip, and they're going to In-N-Out because they've never had In-N-Out here. It's really fun.
Yes, well, the blessings of California are getting
Thank you.
spread around.
Thank
She's blessing everybody here.
you.
Hewlett.
My dream is that as the companies like Tesla, In-N-Out, Chevron have left California, and well, In-N-Out technically is still in California. They kind of have two headquarters now, but that we will see a comeback California where we will we because we still, you know, every Californian still has that potential for innovation and creativity. And people, I talk to people all the time that have great ideas for their startup companies, and they're always dreaming of how things can get better. And when the government makes a block on how to produce something, people are always thinking of a workaround and how do we get around that. So there's always a creativity and an innovation, but it needs to be released. It needs to have the freedom to again grow something in California that's going to actually draw people back and have the jobs. I mean, just thinking of all the possible jobs that we could have with the oil business.
That's right. That's
You
right.
just made me think of a car, and a car that has a governor on it. I don't know if people understand that, but if you rent a U-Haul, it has a 65-mile-an-hour governor, so you can't go above that. It just shuts it down. That's what California has, is a governor, no pun intended, that is 65 miles an hour. If you have
That's
geniuses
funny.
in that state that can open it up to 100 miles an hour, but there's a governor on their car.
How do you know that
That's
U-Haul?
what you're racing for, is to take those businesses to get rid of the governor on the car, no pun intended, and allow them to just go.
Right.
That's right.
Right. So I don't have all the expertise for all of the problems in California, but there are people who do. And
yes.
So I would like to just go to Sacramento, bring some common sense and say, let's reverse some of these laws. Let's unleash the potential here. Let's take those governors out and let the people go. It's almost like I don't feel like Moses. Let my people go.
That's yeah. right. There you go. What do you think, Paul?
I think all of us.
I'm just realizing how wise Forrest Gump really was. You know, stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid does. You know, it just astounds me. I'd like to go back just really quickly. When there was a blowout in the 60s, there was an oil well blowout offshore, and it created all kinds of problems. We had a driller. I was pastoring in Carpinteria, which is on the coast, and we had one of the drillers, the platform drillers in our church, and he said, you know, they're shutting everything down so that we're not going to be able to drill, but if you've ever walked on the beach in California, you'll probably get tar on the bottom of your foot. And he said, what they don't realize is if they will allow us to drill in a practical way, it takes the pressure off of those underground things, and it cuts down on the leakage that gets into the ocean, which creates, you know, all kinds of problems like that. And then Elizabeth, could you speak to funding Proposition 36? I think, you know, that's an area I don't think a lot of people have really given attention to or we hear about. So could you expound on that and just expand our understanding, Prop 36?
If you go on social media, there's all these videos of what they call smash and grabs, where mm-hmm. where like gangs of thieves, and they can be all wearing black and masks. They can go to like a beautiful Louis Vuitton store here in Glendale where they did this, and this crowd of thieves rushes in. They smash the counters and just grab all that they can at once. If it's $950 or less of merchandise that they've taken, they're prosecuted only as a misdemeanor. They don't even get prosecuted. They pretty much walk. And we've been really fighting the cash bail system. And but anyway, that smash and grab was starting to be a thing because of Prop 47, which allowed the thieves to just go do this without consequence. And so the voters here in California passed by 70% Proposition 36 mm-hmm. because we needed to reverse what was happening with Proposition 47. And so Proposition 36, it puts back consequences for the criminals, puts in place that the prosecution needs to go, need these people need to be put away, and there needs to be deterrence to this again. And so the legislature and the governor have not funded what needs to be done to implement Proposition 36, which was passed by the voters overwhelmingly. And so that's one of the things that I would do in Sacramento is say we have good laws. We need to implement them. And instead of having $100 billion of fraud, and money that can't be found for unemployment from COVID, money that can't be found for homeless, $24 billion. This kind of money could really help our public safety and this crime situation. And we've got the good laws. They need to be funded and implemented and the law enforcement empowered.
Okay. Yes. I tried to really kind of understand Prop 36, you know, so I read about it, you know, today and to get ready for the program tonight. And it also applies for certain theft and drug related offenses and targets repeat offenders. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, put them in jail. Now, here's the complex thing, and maybe you can help me understand this. It costs, according to what I read, statistically, it costs about $132,000 a year to keep one person in California incarcerated. $132,000 because of a rise in the health care that they provide to the convicts and the rising costs of paying the employees to take care of the things like that. So in light of that, I can't find the right adjective for our governor. In light of that, he has closed three prisons with two more on the chopping block. So that closing down five prisons in California, and if we up the rate of people going to prison, what are we going to do? Okay, what are we going to do? I mean, that just doesn't seem to register with me. No. How does that work? Especially when California is looking at a $21 billion deficit in its budget or higher than that.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind that we have a Proposition 36 that hasn't been funded, even though it took effect in 2024. If I know that's the case. So how do you, as an assembly person, begin to broach things like that in a practical manner, especially when you go out campaigning and people ask that question, you know, where do you start? Where do you put your foot in the water? I guess is what I'm asking for.
Yeah, well, as you say, it doesn't make sense. So I think that the common people would also say that doesn't make sense. We need the prisons to hold the criminals, because when they close the prisons, they're released, right? And then they commit more crime. So there's the repeat offenders.
Right.
And the people begin to be afraid. We're afraid to go out to dinner. I mean, it's like, and the children, and my daughter who works for In-N-Out, she gets out of work at 3 a.m. So yeah, we need to actually don't close the prisons. Maybe we need to build more prisons. We need to prosecute those criminals and have a place to put them. The expense of keeping the prisoners, I'm sure there's a lot of auditing that needs to be done with that $132,000 per prisoner. But on the other side, it's worth it to not release them back into the community when they will just repeat their crimes.
Yes.
The word I come up with is accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's government, whether it's lawbreakers, whether it's anything, no one's holding anybody accountable. We need, like you said, we need to convict the criminals and put them somewhere and make them pay. Don't do the crime unless you can pay the time.
Well, I have something.
I guess that was part of my comment as well. And I did prison ministry, and we did research for probably 20 years. And one of the complaints, and it really wasn't a complaint, it's a scheme to get people to go along with reducing prison population. So you pass a law where you don't lock people up, population drops, and I close the prisons. And then you say, well, if we lock people up, start locking people up again, then we got this prison population that explodes. And my question to them is, okay, tell me what it costs to build a prison. And I think back 30 years ago, it was $85,000 per cell to build a prison. And then much more after that. So much more now. So my question to them is, tell me the economic impact of crime on your state. And if I if I remember right, California has one of the highest impacts. It's somewhere around $60 to $70 billion a year crime impact. So I go, okay, how much does it cost to build a prison and maintain it? What's the economic impact? I'll take the prison.
And like we're losing our shopping. You know, the Walmarts are leaving. CVS is going out. So so we're losing our way of life.
Absolutely.
A reminder too that the more you can have local control over what's happening, the better. Because you can make a decision in Sacramento that impacts the whole state. And for people that have not been to California, I mean, you just drive and drive and drive and drive. It's still California. It is a huge state, right? We moved to the East Coast and we could do 7 states in a day. Well, on the West Coast, you could never leave California.
Those are driving Texas
all day.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a reminder that when decisions are made and they don't impact the population that's making those decisions, it's very dangerous. And that's true, not just in California. That's true across the board. And the more that we can have it be localized decision making, the better for everyday people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So yeah, the more Sacramento and the state level have power that dictates over the local control instead of the local governments making those decisions.
Yes.
The waste there always is, and the more inefficiency there always is.
I think there's a gentleman. Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
The other question, you mentioned the commissions there. The commissions are put in place by the legislature, by law, or they chosen and appointed positions by the governor or something.
It's both, but the governor chooses who to appoint.
Right.
They're created by the legislature with the governor's signature.
Right, yes. So the legislature could actually rescind those commissions as well.
Okay. And the governor could also, not
veto that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, God's able. He's able.
Yeah. God is able.
Amen.
And if you saw the governor race, there's movement going on. I know that's not today's conversation, but the Lord is working.
I was going to say, there's a guy with the initials SH that have a lot to say that, and I'm sure he would vote for you.
So the supposed front runner is no longer running.
Yeah.
God's moving. Yes.
Well, he's running from something. He's still running, but not.
I think Steve Hilton's really been covering bases, talking with everyone, and I think he would make a great person to understand these and work just what you've all been saying, just like Elizabeth brings out. Keep it local, keep it open, keep an understanding. It's like me going to, it's another country, and they're saying, well, I'm going to tell you what works good for you. You can't. You don't understand all those things, and that's what Steph was saying. It's really true. We don't know what other people have in certain areas. I mean, we got so many things in California. We got engineers, cowboys, cowgirls, farmers, ranchers. I could keep going. Pecan growers, the famous raisins, California raisins. We got all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but they all need to be saying what they're doing.
It's interesting how they cut the water off to the Central Valley, which was part of the breadbasket of the state. And if you drive up to the Central Valley, it brings you to tears, and to see the signs saying, give us our water, give us our water. And it used to be so lush. I mean, it was a joy to drive through those almond orchards and things.
Yes.
Now they've just been turned under, it's just amazing the beauty and the resources of this fabulous state of California, right. and what's happened to it. So you
stop, get rid of your oil. You don't produce, don't make money from the oil you produce. Then you get rid of the water. You don't make money from the water you produce. So.
Well, they use the water to save a little fish, that makes a lot of sense.
So I was at the grocery store today, and I always buy the Cuties or the Halos. We have friends that they own a company that Halos. They're all from California, right? But there are these really big mandarins right now, and they're $3.50. And so the kid that's checking me out, he's like, "Those are so expensive." And I said, "Well, have you tasted one?" He goes, "No." And they're from the Central Valley. And I said, "They are so good. There's nothing." I said, "I just eat half and then I eat half another day." And so that also breaks my heart, Paul, because for people that don't know, the Central Valley, the produce that comes out of it, also the Central Valley is a very conservative area. And so what a shame. Most of your berries will come from there as well. Just amazing produce, like the best in the country.
Our California agriculture is the beauty of our state. We've got,
Breadbasket, we should call
San
it.
Francisco, right? San Francisco used to be a beautiful city, a fine, you know, financial headquarters, and then and LA has entertainment industry as well as so much business. There's Silicon Valley, but our agriculture in the Central Valley is the is really the gem of California, and we feed the world. And so the water management here in California, it needs to be it's a huge undertaking, but it
Yes,
can be done.
unleashed.
God gives us enough water to grow to grow the almonds, to grow the oranges, to grow all these things, send it around the world, and still have drinking water in our sinks in the city. And I believe we have enough water, if it's managed well, to also have the sprinklers on so the kids can run on the grass. You know, if I just personally don't want to put cactus on the front lawn because the kids can't play. So it needs the management there. My dad and my grandfather both worked on water projects here in California and LA County. And just as Paul was saying, the engineers on the oil rigs, they understand that there are ways that science can accomplish so much more than what the kind of, I don't know, I feel like they're the environmentalists now, because we're actually destroying our forests, we're destroying our oceans. We're, you know, those windmill things, they kill the birds, they kill the whales. There is wisdom with the people who are the experts. I was talking to the water district in Glendora a few years ago, and they were explaining to me how up where those little fish are, the smelt fish in the Bay Area, that those tunnels that would go under where the fish are and not harm the fish, but bring the water down to Southern California. The whole process took so long to get those two tunnels started that now the costs have gone so much that they can only afford one tunnel now. And how much progress have they made that on that? Zero. So basic management of our basic resources can be reformed. Nothing is impossible, but there's got to be a starting place.
Well, I'll leave the charge to get on our high-speed rail system and go far past, you know. I mean, walking over the pass, not one.
Yes, such a reminder that, you know, California is so rich in resources, and what is happening is clearly a mismanagement. It really, and people don't understand when I tell them it was such an amazing place to grow up. There are so many wonderful things about California, and it is being improperly stewarded, and that can be fixed.
That goes back to Cain and Abel.
I would disagree.
What would you say, Ron?
It's mismanagement is one thing. When you intentionally destroy a place, I think that's more the case. Yeah,
focus. Okay, so you're being more assertive than I was.
They hate petroleum. They hate the up and they hate them. So they put things in place, I think sinisterly on some levels, to stop or get rid of certain things. Yeah, it's not a you think about it, right? It's not a simple thing of mismanagement, because even in mismanagement, after a point, you go, oh, this isn't working.
That's right, true. Beyond negligence, you're correct.
Right. And that's this sort of evil, wicked part about it. It's intentionally destroying an amazing place. And it's just me. Right? I'll go back to my conspiracy theories. Right. I see places like California. You know, back in the day, we called it God's country. I think some people took that seriously and said Satan's going to attack it.
For sure.
One of the things that I've so I spent time in the 70, 73, 74, went back again in 79, and then went back again in 91 for a period of time, and then I'm back again in the 2018, 19. Every time I went back, the last three trips, I literally went places and I brought tears to my eyes.
Yes.
Places I was familiar with. It brought tears in my eyes. Oakland is one of them. Yeah. It literally had me crying. Yeah. It's mind-boggling. You look at it and you go, this is not ignorance. It's not mismanagement. This is outright wicked, intentional destruction. Mm-hmm. I can't describe it any other way.
The current leadership has definite animosity towards just the well-being of our working families and our businesses. Yes. I was making a call today, actually asking for a donation to one of my friends that has a business in Pasadena, and she was telling me that she's not able to help me this time because the property taxes on the building for her business were reassessed without anybody even coming to the property. They reassessed it from $5 million to $11 million, so that her yearly property tax would be $117,000 a year.
Well, you got to make up for the business that left. So now they're going to whack everybody else.
Right. And so if people that own businesses that serve the community with their business leave California because they cannot survive, and then the families are gone, then the homeowners are being attacked the same way with property taxes, and we need to protect our Prop 13 here in California.
Because I'd like for all the California, at least a lot of the Californians, go back to California from Texas. They're killing me in my property prices here.
The rest of the country would say the same. Yeah.
I love you, buddy. You know, hey, go back home.
But your values are going up.
I'm rooting for you and all the other Christians behind you to kind of make California great again so you can reduce the cost.
That's right. Yeah.
Go back.
Yeah, we'll take them back when we get the state in shape.
My personal story was that our son had a business there in Oakland, and had all sorts of publicity, featured on television, magazines, all sorts of social media attention, and he shut the restaurant down and moved back to Atlanta. It was absolutely mind-boggling the obstacles and the regulations, and then decided to sell the business, shut it down. We decided to sell it instead of shutting it down because they were going to penalize him if he left the state and shut his business down.
Right,
and I'm thinking, you don't get more wicked than that. That just, it just, you know, we got to, and the other individual who I've gotten to know, they were penalized after the fact because they sold their house in California and moved here. Mm-hmm. And they were penalized. I'm going, that's just, it's mind-boggling to me. It just, which is why I go back to, it's not by accident. This is intentional. Sorry.
Yeah, and that story is That story is like a story from a communist country because it's the communist countries that don't allow you to leave. Right? It's like the countries that are the worst to live
Yes, absolutely. They
She
don't allow
comes.
you to leave. They overtax you.
So
They
that
suppress
is
your business. Yes.
right. So yeah, there's an
Oh.
ideology that seems to be very familiar with some of our California
Yeah.
policies.
Here's the other question I had was the is there a widespread or sort of intentional effort among churches for praying and fasting and praying for you and other folks engaged in the process there. I'm assuming it is, but any folks that you're familiar with or connected with?
I have organized three groups myself to pray for the
Okay.
campaign.
Yeah.
But it's been very hard to do the organizing and the motivating. And I think that so I send out my prayer request to these groups, and they'll personally pray for me when we've got events coming up. And even interviews like this. So, but I was just talking to one of my, I call him my Republican mom here, and then she was saying, I'm gonna talk to my church and organize the prayer group for you, and then I'm gonna talk to the other church down the street and organize a prayer group for you.
Praise God.
I'm praying that God will stir up the leaders in the churches to pray, because honestly, I am not able to stir everybody up
Right. Yeah.
myself. Ron and I, we try, we kind of feel bad because we go church to church to church,
Right.
to try to stir
Yeah.
up that interest, and we personally meet the pastors, but we're spread really thin.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to pray for a prayer captain then on your team.
yes.
That's their job for your campaign. So we get a prayer
Yes.
captain and a college campus coordinator. That's what we're going
I like that. I'm writing that down.
pray for.
Paul, you had a question too, didn't you? I think.
Yeah.
Oh, you're off.
Uh-oh.
No,
There.
I was just. No, I didn't have a question. I just heard it last, was it last week that Hewlett-Packard announced that they were leaving California?
Oh, they
And
did.
that was one of the babies,
Coming to Texas.
that birthed the Silicon Valley. But they said, we've had enough. And so HP, they're leaving. And
Our daughter played volleyball with their granddaughter. Like, you're right. And his dad worked for them. Like, that is a California.
And even on commercials on California, is it Kevin Costner saying, hey, if you want a place to film movies, go to Utah, you know? So even that's happening. And it's so subtle, you know, and but it's happening on every front, you know. So there's the entertainment industry, and then you've got the high tech industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to hear that In and Out is leaving California headquarters, just that's just devastating.
I'm so sorry. You can still get your burger.
She tried to stay. She tried to stay also. She
Yeah.
tried.
They have kind of a dual headquarters now.
There you
But
go.
yeah, but it's sad for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met the owner of In-N-Out, the founder and the owner, and he was
Lindsay.
just a delightful Christian man. Unfortunately killed in a plane
Helicopter.
accident, in Orange County. The businesses, still an In-N-Out on the bottom of their cups. If you look under there's a little scripture reference, you know. So keep it up,
On the French fries, it's on everything. It's really
keep
cool.
it up. Yeah.
Well,
Those don't
we stay a witness here. Those of us that are called to stay, we are called to stay a witness, be a light. The
Yes.
Galatians, I think it's 6:9. That's kind of my theme verse these days, is do not grow weary in doing good.
Amen.
due time you will reap if you do not lose heart.
That's
and
right.
I think yes. Charlie Kirk used to quote Jeremiah also, where it's Jeremiah was speaking to the Hebrews that were in Babylon and saying, you stay there, you build houses, you plant vineyards, you pray for the peace of your city, because as you prosper, the city will prosper. And
amen.
God wants us all to prosper. He wants He wants the best for us. He wants beauty. He wants hope. He wants joy. He wants the children to thrive. And we are feeling the consequences of bad choices in California now. We are feeling the consequences of maybe sins of omission and apathy by the church. And so we are feeling the pain. Mm-hmm. But God's heart is still to redeem. God's heart mm-hmm. is still to prosper. And then that Jeremiah 29:11, that God has plans for California for good and not for evil. He has a future and a hope. And so we stay and we put on the armor of God, and we put our light on a lampstand and we shine it everywhere we can. And we're not alone. There's another verse in Acts that says, I don't remember who it was for, but God said, I have many people in this city. And so don't be afraid. You're not alone. And we have many people in this city, in this county of Los Angeles, and in California. And then I'm so grateful for all of you that have left California and are sharing the blessings of California with the rest of the country. and you're praying for us, supporting us.
Amen. Well, you know, there's it's just interesting listening to everybody. Sometimes I sit back and I get so blessed by all of you. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Prager has the book out, simply, I believe it's called God. And he speaks of the Judeo-Christian ethic, and he goes to what you and Ron were both saying. He said, I'm not trying to tell anybody to believe in God or not believe in God. But this nation, and California was founded, all the greatest evangelical works of this nation came out of California. Yeah. And he said, I'm just asking you to look at this. The morals, the love, the care, the understanding, all the practical terms you want to nail on the biblical truths that come from God's word, they're good. And how do you have those if you don't believe in somebody like God who gave them to you? Otherwise, you do like Ron was saying, you make the choices on the changes for selfish reasons that end up destroying a beautiful state over a period of time. And the people don't need to be, you know, named, the governor and all these other people. They know who they are and they know what they've done and they know why. Silicon Valley would basically just as soon we all left and went somewhere, gave up all the roads and leave them to traveling around in jets and playing in South Bay. And that came from someone who was from there to me. So the bottom line on that all is what you just said, Elizabeth. We're all here, right? Yeah. And God is in here with us. And he knows whatever he's doing, and I believe you're spearheading that too, whatever he's going to do here is going to glorify him, but it's going to bring back, I believe we'll see it again, like Stephanie said, and what this state really has to offer. It's not going to come all at once, but I think some of the net, when he brings it through seeking the fish, you know, is going to bring in some of these people, like you had said, Tank and others. They're looking at everything, and they're not satisfied. They're not happy because they're still searching. We don't search because we found who he is in Christ Jesus, and we know that God has a plan. So,
yeah, I'd like to bring it back to our Assembly District 40, where we are, North San Fernando Valley and Santa Clarita Valley. The reason why Ron and I are running particularly in this area is because it may be the most conservative cities in Los Angeles County. And within the state of California, out of the 80 assembly seats, this may be one of the top targeted assembly seats in California to turn from blue to red. And it because it's flip-flopped several times in the last two decades. And so it's possible to do. And that's why we're doing it. And we're fighting hard. There's a lot of good people. You know, I quoted that verse that God said, I have many people in the city. And so in the last midterm election, 2022, the Republican Assemblywoman, she lost to the current Democrat who's in the seat now, 4 years ago, only by 522 votes. That was because they redrew the lines. And so we're dealing with those lines that were drawn those years ago, but we've got some other strategies to get votes out that have never voted before, to get votes out that don't typically come out in a midterm election, to get those students at that university. And God has strategies that can do this. But I wanted to highlight to everyone that we are in a race that can be won for righteousness, for what is good, and to just put another stake in the ground for holding on to family values, to holding on to common sense, holding on to let's reverse some of these policies that are destroying our state, and release the tethers that are holding back the prosperity. So remember us in District 40, which is LA County, but we have a lot of good people here and they're working hard and working with us. So thanks for coming alongside and cheering us on.
Amen. Well, that's it. So we're going to kind of wrap, and I'm going to ask Stephanie maybe in just a minute to pray for you, because I know she was saying all that, and boy, the input you all have had tonight. And one more time, let's see if Stephanie, maybe before, just say a quick word how they can send some people. They always ask, and I forgot last week.
Because I wasn't done. I had something to say to Elizabeth.
That's it.
In the last word. No, shh. Okay. We're so glad that you're here and you hung out extra long. You can hang out with us anytime you like, actually. You can go to bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations and you can listen in live every Monday. You can also scroll down and find prior shows. You can listen in. There's ways to give, which we always appreciate because it takes money to be on the air. Thank you, TJ. I'm making him go all over the place. You can continue to scroll down. You can connect with each of us individually as co-hosts. You can plug into Pastor Joe and into Craig's book. There's just a wealth of knowledge there. So bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. And one of the things that I wanted to say to you, Elizabeth, but also to Ron, because being the spouse of someone going through this is not easy, right? It's a marital decision that you guys make. You, Ron Greer's like, no, I know your wife has also been through it. I just want to honor you guys because it would be easy to not make this choice. It would be much easier, right? Yes. And the reality is that we need you. And I just think as a mama, I also was a homeschool mom, California, there's so many of us that feel like we don't have a voice and it's really not true. And so rising up and you doing what the Lord has called you to do, I just appreciate it so much. And there are others watching how your character is in this entire process. So I just want to honor that for the two of you. And we thank you. We're praying for you. We're going to continue to share about this campaign. I know, Pastor Joe, you want me to pray over them?
Yes, I tell you, hold one thought, and then Stephanie, that was said so well. Ron, I think all the guys would say the same thing, like Stephanie, just to support what she just said. You're an incredible man, sir. You've raised a beautiful family with your wife, and the love you guys, you can, everybody feels it, what you guys have together. And I mean, the traveling, the thinking, the praying you do with the family, you're just our kind of guy. And we really appreciate you for what you've done that way. And Stephanie, that was a beautiful thought you had there. And I looked at a guy on your left, Stephanie, the same thing with Tank there, same way right there. Amen. So that's great. So we're going to go off the air now. We took a little more time tonight. Elizabeth, that was terrific. What you shared was terrific. The thoughts. Again, we just believe, we know you not only walk with the Lord, but you're personal with him and with everybody, and you make everybody feel. And everybody, guests are calling and now saying, this is a fantastic show. We're getting things. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, you saw where to go to help her and support her, and you know where we are. We appreciate that, but we're going to continue there. And before this election continues, we'll be in touch with you. We're going to keep you all informed about what she's doing. Check all our Facebook pages. Check our Facebook page. We're in different space. Let her prayers be felt that way. All right, Stephanie, Elizabeth, we're going to pray for you now. Okay, we're going to go from there. Y'all set? Okay.
I'm going to say this thing just in case, because we said it at the beginning, but if you want to connect with Elizabeth, the website is Elizabeth. It's with a Z. I know some are with an S. It's a Z. Elizabeth 4, the number 4, assembly.com. So you can connect with her there. She's also on social medias. So look for her. Thank you, TJ. He just
bought the website. Thanks, TJ.
He will now pray. Dear Lord, we just know you are the good, good Father. And we are so thankful for the framework that you put in place. We know that government is actually yours, that you made it very clear in the Old Testament that we are to be a piece of it. We are to be active. We are to be vocal. We are to be kind, but also to be a piece of it. And I just ask, Lord, that you cover Ron and Elizabeth during this season.
Yes.
Let them feel your presence, Lord, go before them. Guide them in their steps, in their word, Lord. Just as Ron Greer asked earlier, Lord, we ask that you bring them a prayer captain that can disseminate into the community that you have, that we know how powerful prayers are and how that lifts up and what the impact can be, Lord. And we also pray for that campus coordinator that will just energize these young people to go out into the community, Lord. I ask for just a rising up, for just a murmuring, the voice of people saying, hey, have you heard about Elizabeth? She's going to make change. She's here to do it with you, Lord. I just ask for you to create that momentum. I know that you do the most amazing and wonderful things, and we are just excited to see your awe and glory, and we thank you in advance for all that you will do. We praise you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right, folks. And the guest speaker says to everybody, amen. We different ways coming across.
Amen.
So, hey, God bless you. Love you guys. Thanks, team. You guys are the best. I love you. And folks, we're going to see great things happen with Elizabeth. Ron, thank you. Thanks for everything you do, too. Elizabeth, God bless you. Keep those fires going and give you the energy you need, okay? We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Same time, same place, same station, bbsradio.com, radio TV, the best there is you'll find anywhere. So check them out. And also know that we pray for you and that God raises your expectations as he raises and gives you a new leader in District 40. See you next week. Bye-bye. Right.
God bless you. God bless you, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn.
It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.